Preparing to enter Canaan. Preparing to enter Canaan. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments from these verses. If you'll have your Bibles, we're going to look at a few other scriptures along the way. And I'm just privileged and thankful to have a Bible and to have the privilege of preaching today for the Lord. And I hope that you are thankful that we have a church that we can be a part of. And just be blessed by the Lord and His Word. We've been blessed already. Thank Him for it. Heavenly Father, we do know that all things are under Your control. And help us to, one day at a time, know that You are good and faithful. And as we even mentioned on Wednesday evening, Lord, there will come a day. There will come a day. It may not be this side of heaven, but there will come a day where we see it. We'll see why it had to be like this. And I believe You show us many times, even now, these type of things. So give us the unction to function in this preaching time. Lord, help my mind to be stayed upon You. The listeners the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't bring a hanky today. Does somebody have a Kleenex? I don't want to borrow it because I'm not giving it back. But we have one right here. I see Sandra diving in there. What's that? Okay. Oh, the Mary Poppins bag. I hear you now. Okay. Good one. Thank you very much. Good. Okay. Thank you. All right. As we discovered last Sunday, and if you weren't here last Sunday, you didn't miss what I'll just review. We learned that Moses, who was a great leader of the nation of Israel, it was time now for a new leader to come on the scene. And his name is the name of that this book is written by, entitled, and that is the man Joshua. That's taken place. In the past, there are those wilderness wanderings from city to city and from place to place. They have already taken place as well. Last week, we spoke about a challenge that Joshua had received from the Lord. And what we learned from that challenge was that it was what was necessary in order to have a successful or a prosperous Christian life. And I hope that you've been thinking about that and meditating on that throughout the week. Now God told Joshua these things that were needed. And now Joshua is taking the message that he was given, and he's giving it to the nation of Israel. And that's what we read about in our text just a few moments ago. He says to them, the time has come for you to take the land that God has promised you. The time has come for you to get ready. And now we're on the banks of the river here, the Jordan River, and we're about ready to enter Canaan, the promised land. And there is a challenge here as to the nation as a whole, and also as a segment within that, and we'll talk about that here over the next several minutes. So, first thing we want to mention is that challenge, and that's number one, the challenge from Joshua. We see that in verses number 10 and through verses 15. The first thing that we see within this challenge is this statement, and we see that in verse number 10 and 11, and that's these two words, be ready. Be ready. Look, if you will, in verse number 10 with me. The Bible says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, okay, he's about ready to give them the orders. They're going across the river here in a little bit, and they're about ready to go into the promised land, Canaan. And he says to them, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you, prepare you, prepare you. Get ready, get ready. We're about ready to enter the promised land. We're about ready to go where God has been leading us all of these years. It's time to get ourselves ready. It had been 40 years of wandering. They had an attempt 40 years prior, and God was ready to have them go in then. But 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And it didn't happen. Now, one of them is still here. 2 of them are still here. But one that we're talking about, it was Joshua. He had the faith 40 years before that God was going to defeat those big giants that were in the land. And now he's leading the people into Canaan 40 years later. And one of the things that he talks about here is he says, you need to get some food ready. That's what that word victuals is talking about. Get some food ready. Get some food ready. Interesting time to be thinking about food. And maybe you're even hungry right now. And as soon as I said food, your stomach sang to you and said, it's time to eat. You see, the manna that God had been providing them all along, providing them food to eat, was about to stop. The manna wasn't going to continue when they went into Canaan land. And so God told them that it was time for them to prepare. And we learn about that. We won't go to it for time's sake. But in Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 35, this desert diet is almost over. Manna, manna, manna. What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? Now, they did get some quail along the way, and we know a little bit about that, but not for today. They were about to leave the desert diet, and they were about to move up to something a whole lot better. The Bible even speaks of Canaan as a land that flowed with milk and honey. What had worked in the wilderness would not suffice in the land of blessing. Now, I want you to think about it here. The picture that we gave last week of Canaan is not what some of our hymn writers tell us, that Canaan is a picture of heaven. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture, the promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. The victorious Christian life. God took them into Canaan, and one nation after another, God allowed them to see victory. God allowed them to see victory. You know, I got saved when I was 9 years old. But since that time, to God's glory, God has enabled me to see victory in my Christian life. Now, I will say this. When I get in the way, victory stops and then comes defeat. I have too many of those to tell you about, so I'm not even going to start. Because if when I got done, I would want you to give me yours next. And we'd be here until the next snowstorm, okay? And I don't know when that's going to happen, so forget it. I'm not going to list mine. I just know this, that I have a lot of things in my life that would be considered defeats. But when I let Jesus be Lord of my life, when I let Him be in control, it's going to be victory after victory after victory after victory. And it's going to be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so when they are headed into Canaan, and they're headed into the promised land, it's leaving, they've been saved, if you will, and now they're going into the promised land, and the picture here is of the victorious Christian life. I must say this, before we can enter Canaan, we must prepare for that land. In other words, before we can see victory, we must prepare. We must prepare. You do not win in the Christian life by chance. You don't just stumble over, oh, I just won a battle. What do you know? Doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. No, God has provided the way for us to have victory, the way for us to be on the winning side, not just once a week or twice a week, but every day by God's grace. You see, what happens is the things that we feed on need to change. Prepare you victuals. Manna's not coming over the Jordan River. So when you head into Canaan, you got to pack a lunch. You got to get something ready to go when you get into Canaan. You see, what we feed on when we are in Canaan or when we are trying to be victorious, it can't be the same thing that we were feeding on before we got saved. You can't feed on the things of this world and expect to have victory. You can't feed on things that are not honoring to the Lord and expect to have victory. Our diet must change. What we take in must change. I would even go as far as to say that the entire scope of our lives will be altered so that we can adjust. It must be altered so that we can adjust to life in Canaan. You want to be victorious? Praise God. There are many, many promises in this word and many, many things in the Bible that will help you to be victorious, that will equip you to be victorious, that will feed you so that you can be victorious when the enemy comes. But we're not going to be able to be eating from the world and eating from the word and expect to have victory. And I submit to you that many times we as God's people, that if you're saved here today, primarily right now talking to the saved in the crowd, including the preacher, we can find ourselves quickly going back to an imbalanced diet. Feeding on the things that are not honoring to God. Listening to things that are not honoring to God. Watching things and reading things that are not honoring to God. That's not getting us ready for Canaan. That's not getting us ready to be victorious. You see, the Christian life, the victorious Christian life is available for us. The victorious Christian life is available, and the victory was available. And if you read the book of Joshua, you're going to find right away, right off the bat, it didn't take long. I mean, they conquered one city, and the next city that they came to, they conquered Jericho, number one. And the next city that they came to, it only had two letters in it. What was it called? AI. That's exactly how you say it. AI. And they went into that battle, and it was going to be a pushover. AI was just a small little country. We're just going to go in there and dominate. And because someone, when they went into Jericho, violated God's command, and they went to have victory in the next city, you know what happened? Boom, they fell flat on their face. Several people died because of it, and God was not honored. Why? Because they were not ready, they were not prepared for the victorious Christian life, if you will. Go with me in your Bible quickly to Romans chapter number 6. If I expect to walk in victory, well, I tell you what, if you're saved today, I hope that's what you want. I hope you want victory in your life. I hope you want to be a conqueror in your life. You know what? You can be a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You conquer in the Christian life in the same way that we conquer getting over being lost. It's through Jesus Christ. It's nothing different. Jesus is the Savior. He's also how we can conquer in the Christian life. But I submit to you that if I expect to walk in victory, I must walk by an entirely new set of rules. We're talking about being ready. God wants you this week to have victory. God wants me this week to have victory. Guess what? God knows that the enemy has plans for you too. God knows that the enemy has plans for me. And what is it? Not victory. The enemy has plans for me. It's failure. The enemy has plans for me, not reading the Bible tomorrow. The enemy has plans for you, whatever it is. The enemy has a plan. If we're going to be victorious, we must be ready. I love what the verse you've just turned to says. I was really captivated by it this week in my reading. Look at Romans chapter 6, please. Did I give you that chapter already? Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, in that way, we also should walk in newness of life. Wow. You know what that's saying? That's saying this, that as a Christian, I am not the same as I was before I became a Christian. I am not the same anymore. I am walking in a new way. I am walking in a new path. I am walking with a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our King, amen? He's the head of this church, amen? Christ is the head of this church. The pastor's not the head of this church. The assistant pastor's not the member. No, we're not the head of this church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And when we got saved, we began to walk a new way. We began to talk a new way. We begin to think a new way. And by the way, I hope that it's not because we have to. It's because we want to. Oh, and what do we find from that? We find great peace. We find great peace. I wonder today, what will you have to do to get ready this week for what God has for you? Get ready. Get ready. They're about to enter Canaan. Joshua says, hey, prepare. Get ready. Make you victuals. Get ready. The second thing I see here that Joshua says is he says, be responsible. Be responsible. I see that in verses 12 to 15. I'm going to have to give you a little bit of background here, but stay with me. Verses 12 to 15, the Bible says, and to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land, meaning this side of Jordan, before they're going to pass over. And I'm not going to read verse 14. You can see it there. But I will read it in the middle there. It says, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he have given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, the victorious Christian life. Now Joshua addresses this select group of people because they had been given permission by Moses to remain east of the Jordan, just outside of the promised land. Now I wonder, why would they make this request? Okay, a little bit of background here. Let's do a little research here. Turn to Numbers chapter number 32, please. Numbers 32. Numbers 32. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and then I'm going to read verse 4, and then verse 16. I'll remind you of those as we go through them. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of what, if you're there? Cattle. Cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for what?
Cattle.
They have a lot of cattle. Looks like a good place for cattle. Look at verse number 4, please. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for what?
Cattle.
And thy servants have what?
Cattle.
All right, verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. These folks, these tribes, if you will, had cattle. We obviously made that very clear. And this land east of the Jordan was a land that was very, very good for raising cattle. And yet Joshua reminds of a promise that was made in Deuteronomy chapter number 3. If you want to jot that passage down, I'm not going to turn back to it. But he reminds them of a promise that they had made back in Deuteronomy chapter number 3, verses 12 to 20, of how they would fight alongside their brethren until the land was conquered. So Joshua is saying, now don't forget the promise that you made. Now this was a land of prosperity, but it was also a land of danger. Just because something looks greener doesn't mean it's always right. This area where they would settle years later, when the Assyrian army attacked from the east, these tribes went into captivity first. You see, just because something looks greener, we got cattle. This is good land for cattle. We need to stay here. We can think about that and apply it, and we will in just a moment. I see a great and powerful lesson here in my life, and I think maybe you would as well. 2.5 tribes are listed here. To me, it looks like the emphasis of these 2.5 tribes is this. We need to make a living the priority instead of making a life a priority. We've got cattle, and we need this good soil. Little did they know what would come years down the road. That just because it looks right in my eyes doesn't mean it's God's will. May we today have this as a prayer. God, I want to be concerned about my life before making a living. And I'm not saying necessarily in your job, unless that's what the Lord is telling you and speaking to you about. I'm just saying in general, what do we put ahead of what God has for us? Do we look at something and make a decision based on what we think it's going to do for us? Or do we say, God, I want your clear direction in this. I want your clear leadership in this. Please show us what is your will for our life. The primary thing that motivates them in this particular passage of Scripture and can motivate me sometimes is getting ahead in life. Sometimes I'm guilty of being materially minded as more than I am spiritually minded. Could it be that that's what was happening here? I don't know. I just know this. God was Joshua was challenging them. Hey, remember, you made a promise. But I believe there's a secondary application that we would be responsible with what God gives us, knowing this. Remember what we said in the dedication, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. So as God gives us things, let's be responsible with what God has given us for his glory. So we see a challenge from Joshua, number one. Number two, we see in verses 16 to 18, we see the commitment from the people. Maybe today, as I think and as I go back, I missed just a little bit here, reminded myself when I looked at it here. As we think about being responsible, being ready, being responsible, if we love the Lord with all our heart, if we seek first the kingdom of God, I want to encourage you today, let's cross over into Canaan. Let's continue to live the victorious Christian life. Let's leave behind anything that is holding us back. From serving God. What's holding us back? Let's leave it behind. Let's not carry it with us into Canaan. Let's be responsible. God has given us one life. May we live it for his honor and glory. But then we see in verses 16 to 18 the commitment from the people. The commitment from the people. Letter A, we see a commitment to being surrendered. To being surrendered. You see that? And they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And wherever thou sendest us, whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. It's a commitment to a life of surrender. Would you turn your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 9. These people that are listening to their new leader. This is Joshua. Now, by the way, Joshua was not a new kid on the block. 40 years long, he had been there. 40 years ago, I would think they remember, he was one of two that said, hey, we can do this. The Lord is going to be with Joshua as he was with Moses. And they look at him and they promise something. They put the people make their stand with the Lord. Whatever God tells you, Joshua, that's what we're going to do. You know what? Let's, again, as we continue into this beginning month of January, that we might be men and women and young people that have a desire to follow God's will for our life. You know, following God's will is the best thing we can do with our life. The best thing we can do for our life is following the will of God. It doesn't mean it's easy all the time, but it's always a way that is filled with joy. It's a way that is filled with the presence of God. The best way is to follow the will of God. And that's what they do here. They commit themselves to a life of surrender. Luke chapter number 9. Luke's Gospel chapter number 9. Verse 57. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. Isn't that an amazing statement there? Two times we see in verse 59 and we see in verse 61, we see suffer me first and we see let me first. In other words, I will follow you after I take care of what I need to do. Believe me, I don't read into this that Jesus here is saying that he is sensitive when someone has a family member pass away. We know when Lazarus passed away in John 11, we know that when Jesus went to Lazarus' grave, we know that he showed emotion there. John 11, 35, it says that Jesus wept. Now, what Jesus is saying here, as each of these three come to him, verse 62, let me finish it. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, as we look at these, in lieu of this verse of scripture, as we go back now Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 16, where it says, all that thou commandest us, we will do. They didn't say to Joshua, when he gave him the orders, Joshua, we will do what you want us to do, but first, let us do this. They just said, okay, Joshua, whatever you have for us, that's what we want to do. They weren't saying that to Joshua. They were saying that to the God of Joshua. Because they knew that Joshua was listening to the Lord. They knew that God was giving Joshua the orders for this nation. Joshua, wherever you want us to go, that's where we're going to go. The contrast between these in verse 16 and to these in Luke's gospel in chapter number 9. What does Jesus want from us today? I believe Jesus wants a dedicated heart. Dedicated heart. Dedicated to the Lord. You know, it's easy to be dedicated to the Lord when things are going exactly as we want them to be. It's easy to be surrendered to the Lord when everything is going the way we would want it to be. Jesus wants a dedicated heart. I found this. I'd like to read it for you. What does Jesus want from us? Total dedication, not half-hearted commitment. We can't pick and choose among Jesus' ideas and follow him selectively. We have to accept the cross along with the crown. Everybody loves to be blessed of God, amen? But when God says, here, have a cross, we say, wait a minute. The blessing is great, but the cross, not so much. No, we have to be willing to take both, the cross and the crown. Judgment as well as mercy. With my focus on Jesus, with our focus on Jesus, we should allow nothing to distract us from the manner of living that he calls good and true. I want to encourage you today, this first month of the year, leading into this year, let's live a life that is surrendered to the will of God. Have you surrendered to the will of God? What if the will of God, we have, I don't know how many countries represented here, what if the will of God was for you to go back to the country that you're from and preach the gospel? Oh, wait a minute now. It was hard for me to get to Canada. You don't understand, and I don't understand. You're right. But I know this, the will of God, being in the will of God, I do know this. There's no better or safer place to be than in the will of God. And some of us here today, I believe God has something for us that we're not quite ready for it yet. And I'd be willing to raise my hand that there's times in my life, and it might even be right now, because I don't even know what's coming this week. God might bring something into my life that's the will of God for me, and I might not even be ready to take that on, and I might not be willing to accept that. But I need to live a surrendered life. These people said, okay, Joshua, wherever you take us, we're going. Whatever you tell us to do, we're doing it. Again, as Joshua surrender to the Lord. Can I encourage us today? Let's completely surrender to God. Let's run the white flag today up to God and say, God, I want to be victorious. And so I know my life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I want your will for my life. A life of surrender. Secondly, letter B, I see that they commit themselves to a life of submission. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. In all things. So will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. These men also promised to follow the leadership of the God's man. Just as they had followed Moses, they committed themselves to following Joshua. They were submitted to him. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I hope you with me as we go through these scripture verses, a little bit of the Old Testament book and maybe another area of application that we find in our New Testament. All of God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It all works its way together to help us. I hope that you will allow the Holy Spirit of God while you're here, but even throughout the week, to revisit these and think about them and seek to have them in your life. When we think of this word submission, no one in their flesh says, I just love to submit. Because to submit means to lower oneself under the control of somebody else, right? And there is no man or woman here in the flesh that says, I just love to listen to somebody tell me what to do all the time. We eventually want to say, look, I want to tell you what to do for a change. In the flesh. But the Bible here is very clear. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Submission. That's the key. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? It's a question. Do you know this, he's saying? Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Don't you know, that's what he's saying, that you are not even your own? He's speaking to a believer, and he's saying, you are not your own. Why? I have been bought, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I have no right to tell God what to do with my life. Because it's not my life. It's God's that he's paid for. And I'm talking about the victorious Christian life. We're not talking today, in a sense, I guess it's foundational Christianity, but we're talking about getting into the victorious Christian life and being victorious and living on top side, spiritually speaking. We can't say, I want my way. No, we have to submit and say, I want God's way. But this makes me feel good. But if it's against God's word, you don't need it in your life. Get rid of it. This makes the flesh feel good. I think we all here know that's not a good thing for us. Submit to the Lord. Give the controls of your life over to the Lord. If we are ever going to get to Canaan and go through Canaan and have victory, I must submit everything to God. By the way, he does a way better job with my life than I do. And he'll do a way better job with your life than you'll do. Canaan is for those who are subject to the will of God. I see one more. Look at verse 18. They commit to a life of surrender. Have you surrendered? What is there today that you're saying, but let me do first this, God, then? No, no. Don't tell God, let me do first. Say, God, okay, I surrender all. Are you willing to submit to God's will for your life? God, I don't understand it, but I'm submitting. And then the last one that I see here in verse 18 is a life of separation. Some strong languages here in this verse, by the way. They commit themselves to separating from those who do not comply with the commandments of the Lord. And their separation was so strong that rebellion was going to be judged by death. Look at verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. I believe these people knew that allowing rebellion in their midst would be, and pardon me for using the term because it affects me and it affects you, but it would be a cancer. I've had cancer. Some of you have had cancer. You've known people that have had cancer, so forgive me for bringing it up. But that's just one of the words I can think of, how sometimes cancer spreads through the body. It just gets out of control. I'm thankful that it didn't spread through my body, and today I'm able to still be here and be alive. Praise the Lord for that. Others of you can testify to that as well. I just looked at two people that I know that had cancer, and they don't right now. Praise God for that. But what I'm saying is, I just wanted to be sensitive to that. What I'm saying is that when rebellion comes in, it spreads. When bitterness comes in, it spreads. You know what it does? It spreads from me to this person, to this person, to this person. It's contagious. If it's in a marriage, it's contagious. If it's in a home, it's contagious. If I want to walk in victory, I must practice separation. Is there something in your life right now, tonight, that is keeping you from victory? Canaan land is our land tonight. The land of victory. I'm not saying in a sense of for the people of Israel. I'm saying the picture that it represents, it's for us. Victory. What's in the way of the victorious Christian life? Canaan land is ours, but Canaan land isn't cheap. Like I said earlier, no one wins in the Christian life by chance. It takes effort. Faith in God. Being in this book. Humbling ourselves before God. I think about this. Brother Bonner spoke to us this morning at the office about Jesus before his death washing the disciples' feet. I knew that story. I've heard that. I've read that passage, et cetera, et cetera. But it just really spoke to me anew and afresh that the creator of the universe, on the eve of his crucifixion, would get down and wash the feet of his disciples. Would, in a sense, show humility. Just to have the privilege of entering Canaan land was very costly. I'm talking about the victorious Christian life. Do you know, before we could be a victorious Christian, we have to come to the cross. Everything about the cross was costly. Costly. When you go to the cross, you'll find several people there. First, you will find Jesus' mother, Mary, at the base near the cross. It was very costly for that mother. Imagine what it cost her emotionally as Jesus is hanging on the cross. Her son, the God-man, cost. There's John as well at the foot of the cross, we know. John, probably one of the closest, if not the closest person to the Lord Jesus. There's Jesus on the cross, and John is there, and John is grieving. It was costly. But Jesus, who could have called as many angels as he would have wanted to and needed to, as he said previously, stayed on the cross until the debt for sin that you and I deserve to pay had been paid. And then he would cry, "It is finished." Tetelestai. It's finished. What's finished? The wrath of God had been paid, had been fulfilled. Why? How? Because it cost something. It cost Jesus everything. But he willingly died that you and I could have home in heaven someday. I met somebody yesterday on the streets of New Westminster. I was delivering some gospel tracts, but you know, if I've got a live one on the sidewalk, I'm not going to the door. I'm talking to the live one. And while I was talking to this gentleman, very cordial gentleman, we were speaking about, oh, just some different things. And then I got onto spiritual things. I didn't know how much time I would have. And then another guy rolled up on a bicycle, and he obviously was his friend. And so I had a chance to, thankfully, they both took gospel tracts. But one comment that the one man made to me, I forgot his name. I wrote it down. I sent it. I actually texted it to somebody to pray for him so that I would see it and remember. He said to me, and I started to get into spiritual things, and he made this statement. He said, well, what is sin anyway? What is sin anyway? He said, sin was already here before I came, so it's no big deal. I thought, wow, you know, it's a big deal. And it wasn't, you know, that the other, they were, you could tell it was time, it was done. But praise God, he put the track in his back pocket. Maybe someday he's going to be sorting out stuff out of his pant pocket, and he's going to pull that track out, and it's going to look him right in the face again. So praise the Lord, the seed has been sown. But I did walk away very burdened for that man who, his attitude about sin obviously isn't what it needs to be to come to Christ. Pastor Nathan was at a door yesterday. I don't know that the lady that he and Julia knocked on, they knocked on a door, and I don't know that the lady was, what was going on there. I don't think he does either. He's telling me about it today. Very burdened, and they're praying for that lady. She used language in front of them that nobody, no adult should have to hear, but his daughter heard it yesterday out soul winning. I don't know if she was, what was going on. I don't know if she was all there, and I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt as much as I can. You know, Jesus died for that lady. Jesus loves that lady. I don't know who she is, but Jesus does. He loved her so much. And I'm not saying Pastor Nathan or Julia or anybody, but he sent them to her door yesterday because he loves them. He loves her. And I'm nobody either, but that guy was riding on his bike, and he put me in their path. You know what? It could have been anybody. I'm just thankful to have an opportunity to give somebody. I'm nobody, but I'm just saying Jesus loves them because now they have the gospel. You've had that privilege before of giving somebody a tract. You've had that. I'm not pointing out the pastors. I'm saying all of us here. It costs Jesus something, but that message that we have, it's life-changing. Have you been changed by Jesus Christ? If you died tonight, it's the 12th day of January, 2020. All around the world, people have died today. Tragedies happen all the time. Volcanoes go off. Just had that happen in the Philippines. Planes, you know all about that this week. We don't need to talk about that in detail. Tragedies happen all the time. You know, life's like this. I've got all kinds of time. I'll deal with this another time. Only God knows when your time and my time is up. Jesus Christ loves you. And if you're not a Christian, he wants to save you today. If you are a Christian, he wants you to enter into Canaan, leaving some things behind and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Be victorious.